Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
401 here. In the Odyssey Empire, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby, just chugging along. Chris's camera's getting right. We're about to play some Chris versus the Fan. If you're interested, 833-288-0973. Three Padres.
I think that's how it finished
are
up, Tony.
The Silver Slugger winners.
Yeah, very good.
Jerickson Profar, Jackson Merrill, and Manny Machado take home the Slugger Award this year.
Congrats to all three guys. They did finish up the award list. I don't think there's any humongous surprises. Mookie Betts got one. William Contreras, the Brewers, was the catcher. First base, Bryce Harper. Second base, Ketel Marte. Shortstop, Francisco Lindor. There you go. I almost said something stupid. I was waiting for the pitcher silver slugger, but pitchers don't hit anymore.
Did they have
they
one?
They used to give one. Oh yeah, absolutely. Every
Who
year
won pitcher. It?
Well, back in the day, not this year.
No, I know, because they don't hit anymore.
Right, but back in the day, yeah, when pitchers hit, they'd always find Zach Greinke won a couple of them, and you know, on
Maybe
and
Madison
on it went.
Bumgarner or something.
Yeah, he probably won one. Anyway, so Silver Slugger. They also gave out a team Silver Slugger award, which
Wait,
I'd
what?
Never seen before.
How does that work? Like, the coaches vote on the team that
was the best, and the Dodgers won that in the National League.
How does
that upset all everybody?
How does that work? Like, I have a hard time seeing any coach, unless they are just completely blinded by the first three guys in that lineup. Which, you know, considering they're all three MVPs, it could very well be the case. But how do you look at a Dodgers lineup and look at a Padre lineup?
Padres led the league in hitting, led the majors in hitting. First time in franchise history, Padres did that.
I think the coaches got that one wrong.
I think so, potentially.
That's why.
You know, James Outman was really good for the Dodgers in the middle of that lineup earlier this year.
Yeah, there weren't very many good Dodgers when those three, especially early in here. Maybe you can make the argument the last month they got a lot better, but. Big three kind of carried that torch.
Yeah,
most
I would say
of the
so.
Year. Muncy had a decent year, a little bit of a bounce back year from when he was healthy, at least. We do have some Chris versus defense. Scraby's got an interesting, was it a raccoon story?
Opossum.
Not opossum.
Opossum.
Well, can you tell us the difference?
No.
Between a I can't either.
But I was told.
We went over this in a show, I believe.
Did we really?
An opossum and an opossum? Yes.
Because I can't believe there's two different things.
I put it up on Twitter knowing that I was going to get someone correcting me, but I'm trying to see what the difference of an opossum and a possum is. But yes, I do have a story that we'll tell later.
Okay. Well, if we're going to hang on to that story for later, let's jump into this Chris versus the Fan.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Tony has looked up the difference.
native to the Americas.
The opossum?
Opossums are characterized by white faces, sharp teeth. They are medium-sized with coarse fur that is usually gray. Now, where's the possum part?
Maybe a possum is not.
Opossums are both meat and plant eaters. Ooh. Omnivores.
Oh.
How do you know for sure it was an opossum? Did you have time to stop and ask him? I mean,
yes,
maybe the
Chris.
Difference is... I know I, you I, did. That's what I mean. Did it have a it sign?
I actually had a name tag on. They're, yeah, behind they're, my name
I'm an opossum, not a possum.
They're from...
How would you
from
have known this?
They're from different countries.
Chris, it's not hard to tell.
The possums
no.
are natives to Australia.
We just... Okay, we just went through this, though. I said, what's the difference between an opossum and a possum? You said, I don't know.
Okay,
and so, now you're saying it's not difficult to tell the difference. So which is it?
I thought you meant, did you know it was an opossum or possum?
The difference is the white face.
Mm.
No, I'm not trying to be funny, but they have opossums have a distinct like white face. So I think we see opossums here. Most of the time,
if
you look at a possum and an opossum, they look completely different. One's got a much more pointy face.
Well, apparently they do because Scraby figured out right away that it was an opossum.
No, yes, that is. I see. Yeah. They definitely look different.
Yeah,
but it was an opossum, Chris.
And okay, good.
It had blood on its mouth. And
what did it eat?
I have no idea, bro.
You don't want to know, huh?
No, but we'll tell the story later. We got
to get. Let's get to our first contestant. Let's get to the rules first, buddy.
Yes, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it. You'll get the first question for free today. Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. And the more first-time players we get, the better.
And before we get to it, I got to read what they win because...
yes, please.
It's lengthy today, unfortunately.
Let me dig in here. All right, I'm ready.
You settled?
Yes.
You're going to be qualified for a chance to win our grand prize. Two nights stay at the Westgate Las Vegas, two tickets to Soul of Motown, and a $150 food and beverage credit! The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. The award-winning Soul of Motown is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating, guess what, Motown. It's a must-see show during your Las Vegas vacation. Getaway tickets at WestgateResorts.com.
All right, Mr. Scraby, why don't you give me the first contestant there,
Let's go to Kyle.
Kyle, welcome to the show. Come on down.
King Kyle.
Hello.
Hello, Kyle.
Welcome.
No way. All right.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Is this your first time, Kyle?
This is the first time.
First time player!
Nice, nice.
All right, let's get to the second question then.
Let's go.
In which sport would you see a scrum?
Squam.
Sorry, guys. There.
In which sport would you see a scrum?
Pull over real quick. My reception's back. Can you do it one more time? Sorry.
All good,
Kyle.
Pull
over. Here we go. It's okay.
In which sport would you see a scrum?
A scrum?
Yes. Let's me know what's going on in that head.
Dang, I'm going to go, I'm going to go soccer.
Soccer.
Closer than you thought, Kyle. It's a rugby scrum you're looking for.
They both take place on a pitch, I believe.
Too bad, Kyle.
Sorry,
but thanks for playing and play again.
Yes.
Please play again.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
We'll move to our next contestant.
I am so terrible.
Let's go to Ron and La Mesa.
Ron and La Mesa, you're on.
Hey, Ron.
What's up, boys?
What's good, up? Ron?
How you doing?
Good. First time player.
Woo-hoo. Here we go.
That's not part of the first time player song.
Here we go. Second question. Is the national sport of Japan?
The national sport of Japan. Wow. I don't know. Is judo a sport? Let's go with Matt. Either baseball or judo.
Baseball.
I'll go with baseball.
Judo. He's going to go with baseball.
Stay there, Ron. I think Chris knows this.
Sumo wrestling?
He's looking at me. Yes. Sorry,
sumo
Ron.
Wrestling.
Sorry, Ron.
Indeed.
Yeah. You know, pays to be a big boy in Japan.
The first time Playa. Oh, man, okay. Maybe I should have gone to Japan then. I could have been as big as I wanted in sumo wrestling.
You could be as big as you wanted, and you'd be revered.
Yeah.
Unlike here, where society dismisses you.
Everybody just points at me walking down the street, like, look at that fat guy.
No, they don't.
Although I have lost 40 pounds, thank you to SD Fat Loss.
Very good.
I was not expecting it to turn left like that. Let's go to our next contestant.
Let's go to Mike.
Mike, what's up? Welcome to the show. Mike, you there?
Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey,
there you go.
Hello, Mike.
All right, Mike.
He's there.
Here we go. First question. What number does Manny Machado wear?
Eleven.
13.
Sorry, Mike.
I'm a good jersey number guy. Sorry, Mike. All right.
Darvish,
11? We're not getting through the... Darvish, yeah.
Yeah. All right, next contestant.
We're struggling today.
We're struggling, everybody.
That's okay.
Let's go. Actually, you know what? I just put someone on hold.
Scraby's making up questions in real time because you guys are struggling.
I'm just moving
so
things around. Javi in La Mesa.
Javi, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good, Javi.
Here we go. Javi, what college did Jared, not Jeff, but Jared Goff play at?
Jared Goff.
Yes, sir.
Gonna need
Cal? Now.
Got it.
Cal it is.
I saw him.
On to question number two, Scraby.
I see. Talk amongst ourselves,
I see your eyes. Question number two. Who is the oldest starting QB in the NFL right now? Ooh, boy.
Joe Flacco.
No.
Not correct.
That's who I would have guessed.
Flacco is not the answer.
Well, I'm going to have to go with my guy, also from Cal, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron
Rodgers. Try that. I'm not sure.
Rodgers.
Nah. Sorry, Javi. I would have guessed Joe Flacco. So
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he came after Aaron Rodgers.
Huh? Oh, way after.
I know Flacco seems old.
Yeah, he's almost 40. He's born the same year I was, 1985. But he, Aaron Rodgers is 41, I think closing on 42.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Things are going great for Aaron Rodgers right now.
You couldn't wait to get that out, could you?
Need to go to a tiebreaker.
No, we got a little more left. We got at least one more.
Oh, you going to clean it out?
Let's clean these questions right on out here, buddy. Who's our next contestant?
Hey, you know what? Brandon from our fantasy baseball group, Chris, is online.
Brandon.
I haven't seen Brandon call in a long time.
Welcome to the show, Brandon.
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Brandon.
Not too much.
Here we go. First question.
And away we go.
Everybody, Brandon is 6-4 in his fantasy leagues this year.
So Scraby just wants to mention this so he can get to what his team record
is. No. I was just mentioning Brandon's 6-4 record.
Okay.
I
have a feeling you'll sneak your record in there, though, at some point.
Which NFL city currently has two last place teams?
I'm going to go with New York.
New York!
Correct.
guys were really excited on that one.
On to question.
I mean, it's just hilarious that New York has two of the worst teams and then have two of the best baseball teams. Anyway.
Question number two. Which country hosted the 2016 Summer Olympics?
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to take me back. Oh.
8 whole years ago.
2 Olympics
ago. I'm just going to go out and win. France?
France in the summer. It's beautiful. Not the right answer.
I think Chris will know that.
I don't remember.
Oh.
Brazil?
Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
Rio?
Sorry, Brandon. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
It's all good, Brandon.
All right.
Now, sir, if you would like to do a tiebreaker.
Thank you.
We are in tiebreaker
Tiebreaker.
Larry Walker.
Oh, great.
I thought you were going to go Zonka.
I thought you were going to say Bird. But Walker
works. There's so many good Larrys out there.
A lot of Larrys. Larry Walker.
What is Larry short for Lawrence?
Normally.
Oh, I didn't know that until right this
normally
moment. All right, Larry Walker.
These numbers, he's got some insane numbers, actually.
He put some
17 seasons.
Yeah, he put some big ones
all right
up there.
Chris, 1 through 6, give me an answer. Well, I choose 1 through 6.
Oh, I'm sorry. How about good old number 2?
Number 2, I think it's Carlos. Hello, Carlos.
Hello?
Hi, Carlos.
What up, Carlos?
You ready to play the tiebreaker?
Hey. Sure, let's do it.
Yes, right. He says.
So I'm going to ask Chris a question. He's going to give us a number. You guess whether or not the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris guessed. All right, Chris, here we go. Larry Walker didn't realize that he played for 3 different schools.
Schools.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Kentucky on TV and I'm reading Larry Walker. Larry Walker played for 3 different teams. Didn't realize that.
Yes, he did, Scrape.
How about this question? His highest batting average in a single season, Chris. Give me that.
342.
342.
I think he won the batting title.
Carlos, is the answer higher or lower?
Jeez, I don't even know who this guy is.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I'm only 23, Carlos. So I don't know. I got to guess. Let's see. I'm going to go higher.
That a boy, like. Carlos. Did you get it? Yes.
Nice.
You were a winner, Carlos.
Wasn't he like the 370s?
Was he?
379.
Yeah. Wow.
In
1999. Even I didn't remember that big of a year.
He hit 300 in like... in a lot of his,
it was all for because of Coors Field.
He pretty much hit 300 every year of his career.
Yeah,
that's what's Larry crazy. Walker's greatest moment. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Can we tell on the other side of the break?
Okay, well,
he has one great moment. I wonder if it's the same one you're thinking. It probably is.
I will try to remember on the other side of the break. We're going to Chris. Here's some traffic.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by... dot, dot, dot. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings and try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild, smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of a kick, check out the new Cajun sauce for a rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauce. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery. It's Buffalo Wild Wings. Go! Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan, Big Five shortly, and a little bit later, Good, Bad, and Ugly will recap Week 10 of the National Football League. There's some good games coming up this weekend, by the way, guys, starting with Thursday night. NFC East hierarchy stake. Please, Washington and Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
It's a good game.
I was thinking you're going to tell me the Giants or the Cowboys are in it.
Cowboys are on Monday Night Football this coming week.
Oh, great! Yeah. Even better.
They get the prime spot.
Yeah, they get the prime spot. Also this weekend, Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. Good game.
Yeah.
And Kansas City will put its undefeated record on the line at Buffalo.
That's
this weekend
where they needed to flex Monday Night Football. I don't know who.
I don't think
Cowboys
you can flex Monday Night Football. You can only flex Sunday.
Didn't they do it last year?
No, I think it's only Sunday night.
They should have flexed it to Sunday Night Football. That's the game everybody wants to see, but yet they bury it in the middle of the day.
Wow. Well, you can't take away every game from CBS and Fox and give it to the Sunday night game. You have to keep some of those.
The people that paid a lot of money at CBS and Fox will feel some type of way keep doing that.
If you keep
doing that. What do I care about CBS?
Well, if you want their money the next go around, you're gonna move accordingly.
You're a piece of
hilarity. This Sunday, it's Cincinnati against the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
So that's a decent game.
It's all right. Not great, but okay. Real quick.
You know who is great right now?
49ers, I know.
No. The Pittsburgh Steelers. You know why?
Oh, yes.
They're great.
That's right.
I do love it when I see people who have been maligned, like Mike Williams was, doing something like catching a game-winning
touchdown.
Did you
see what he tweeted out?
No. Yes.
Oh, he had some smoke. Aaron Rodgers said that day that he ran the wrong route.
Yeah,
remember, he said he's got to run right down the red line.
Yeah.
So Mike Williams tweeted out his happiness at catching the winning touchdown and hashtag red line.
That's
amazing. And he had a snake in there, too.
So he got a little bit
He put a... See, Chris, you left out the biggest part of the story.
Well, I didn't get the snake.
He called Aaron Rodgers a snake.
Yeah, I see.
He had a little caption that referenced, basically rolling him under the bus. But, it was very 2024. Because as Chris said, he didn't just come out and say it.
Right.
He kind of had to read between the lines of the lines.
You know, emojis are like...
It was a great catch he made, I'll say that.
It was.
Give him credit.
Emojis are like legally binding things. Like, if you give give someone a thumbs up, like, I don't know how far that goes, but if you give someone a thumbs up, that could be considered, like, you entering into a verbal contract.
Yeah, no. Emojis are definitely,
real.
Real, right? I mean, eggplants and peaches.
So when you sent me that heart emoji the other day, Scraby, that meant something?
You gotta stay away from, because you can get yourself into trouble with those.
Yes, peaches and eggplant are definitely ones you need to stay away from. What
we're leading into this not in the right way. I did want to take a minute, because I know Tony mentioned it, and I don't want to forget the passing of really a legendary football coach, John Robinson. Now, the newer generation probably didn't remember John Robinson too well, but... USC in the late 70s, early 80s.
And the Rams, too, right?
And then right on to the Rams, and then back to USC. And the thing that made John Robinson amazing, how many guys, you can count it on one hand, have been great college football coaches and pro?
Yes.
Only like a couple, right?
And Jimmy Johnson.
Very few. And John Robinson was.
Cowboys.
Was really good. John Robinson led USC to 4 Rose Bowls, a share of the national championship. Heisman Trophy winners, Marcus Allen, Charles White. I mean, some all-time classic players. And then with the Rams, the Eric Dickerson rushing attack in 1985 remains the greatest single-season performance of any NFL runner.
How many yards
in history? 20-something.
26?
21, maybe?
21.
Yeah, 21-something. John Robinson was the architect of that. He got to two NFC championship games with the Rams, not quite to a Super Bowl, but John Robinson, legendary football coach, passed at the age of 89. And the interesting thing that I did not know was at the very end of his life, he moved to Encinitas. And in 2010, this was in the paper today, returned to coaching as a 74-year-old defensive coordinator at San Marcos High School. Right up
I
here.
I did hear that. Yeah.
By the way, San Marcos is an amazing new school. Have you guys seen it? It looks great.
If it's new anymore, but right. From when you and I last were
in school, it's completely different.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah.
But John
Robinson,
the record's 2105.
2105. Thank you, Tony. And Eric Dickerson still has that. John Robinson, though, that's a great thing for a 74-year-old guy with that much knowledge to go teach some high school kids.
That is the definition of it being in your blood right
yeah.
there.
John Robinson was fantastic. Died of complications of pneumonia in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, yesterday at the age of 89. And Ronnie Lott, Marcus Allen, Anthony Munoz, some of the Hall of Fame type players that played for him all saying wonderful things about him today. So that was a sad note, which I did not know until the game last night. They put it up on the screen there at the SoFi Arena.
Scraby, did you see the Zion news?
Did I see Zion?
I figured you saw it.
What is he out for, like 4 to 6 weeks
indefinite,
again?
He got the old IND.
Indefinite.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that warmed your heart to see that.
He lives on the indefinitely injured list.
He really does. The guy just got signed to another max contract, too.
They keep giving
even
it to him.
I went into the comments to look and see, and even Pelicans fans are like, can we get rid of this guy? He can't play.
No, I'm telling you, don't get rid of him, because eventually he's going to figure out how to condition
stay
his
healthy,
body the
think?
Right way. When you're, what are the downsides of being a freak athlete?
Is you don't have to work hard.
You don't necessarily know how your body. You just are out there doing things, and you've been doing things like this since you were yay high. But as you get older, you do have to like feed your body right. You have to condition it right, and there are ways that it has to be done. And for some athletes, it takes a little time to figure that out. And so he's still on that journey, apparently. And I just, when a news flash, I just said, oh,
boy. Oh, boy. Scraby's going to go off on this one.
Scraby's probably somewhere just dancing a jig.
Do you know that scene in The Grinch Stole Christmas where his smile like goes all the way past his head? Just imagine me doing that when I see news like that.
When you saw what happened.
It's just so creepy, but I love it.
Meanwhile, the Cavs are undefeated.
12 and rock.
In the Eastern Conference, and they're blowing teams out, including the which was a one-loss Golden State team prior to them getting their butts kicked by Cleveland. So.
And I saw Donovan Mitchell last night jump toward the rim and then in midair just decide, I got to spin around this defender.
He sure did.
So he just did a twirl in midair.
I've never seen anyone ever do that!
Pretty similar. And just laid it right in like the guy wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a ridiculous move.
I've seen that spin three times in the past 4 days, twice from Ja Morant before, like right on Friday, I believe it was, and then watching Donovan Mitchell do it. Certainly some crazy athletes, but let's get to break.
No, before we do, Craig Elston just reminded me. We left everybody hanging on what Larry Walker's great moment was.
Oh, his great moment.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Shout out to Craig.
Because we would have forgot.
The great moment was
He was with the Expos at the time.
It was like a blooper down the right field line. He came in, and he assumed it was foul. So he did what any good baseball player would. He handed it to the young man or young lady. I can't remember who was in the stands. Only to turn around and see the umpire saying it was a fair ball.
And guys were running around the bases.
Just running around like a carousel. So he did what any baseball player would do after that. He went back to the young lady or young man, whoever it was, and was like, can I have that ball back, please?
and got it.
And because it was 2000 whenever, might even be 1990-something.
Yeah, probably. It was
actually,
the Expos, so it was before they moved.
They actually gave him the ball back, and he threw it back into play.
Yep.
Now, that happened in 2024, my man. He would got the middle finger trying to come over and get the baseball.
Be like, this is my baseball, and it's on my TikTok account. Get out of here.
Indeed. That was his...
One of his moments.
One of his funny moments.
Yes, and so he threw it back to them. At least they got the ball back.
That's no.
Cool. He got it and threw it into the infield.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant after he threw it back into play, then he got the ball back. Oh.
No. He gave them the ball and then realized he had given them a live ball. So he went over to get it back and then threw it in. I don't know if the fan ended up with one.
He was on the road, too.
Yes, so, it was at Dodger Stadium.
So the Dodger fan was nice enough to give it all. You need this back? Here you go.
Yeah. It was a Dodger Stadium.
It's a very strange Dodger fan.
Yeah. No, it was a different era.
Different
time.
Man. When people actually were pretty nice, as opposed to nowadays.
All right. Where we fight each other.
Yes. Break time. Traffic.
Big Five next.
Yes.
Well, it is 4:41 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Big Five coming your way here pretty shortly.
Carry over.
Yeah, we're headed that way.
See, I don't like it when you go into it like that. I'm just saying,
it's 4:41 already. We got some traffic to get to. And I'm just saying, it's setting up for a carryover.
Well, if Chris would have gotten us to break on time, we wouldn't be here.
I don't know. I don't even think Chris heard me. Let's check some traffic. Get to the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And the Big Five is brought to you by Summit Subaru of El Cajon. See all the two ways to save right now at summitsubaru.com. Now we need to get right into it so we don't do a carryover.
Number five.
I have been reading a lot of those articles that predict where MLB free agents go in the offseason, and I came across a name I've not seen before linked with the Padres this offseason. Free agent lefty pitcher Max Fried. He pitched for the Braves. We all know the history of Max Fried being drafted by the Padres in 2012, then being traded to the Braves in a deal that brought Justin Upton to San Diego in 2014. So, Tony, we don't know what the budget will be, but if you get one big name signing, would you make it Max Fried?
Ooh. I leave him on the Braves because the Padres always crush that guy.
They did in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think the answer... Give me the question one more time. Make sure I answer this question.
We don't know what the budget will be, but if you get one big name signing, would you make it Max Fried?
Yes. You know, let's just put the money part aside. There aren't as many question marks with Max Fried versus Sasaki, and that's just keeping it a buck.
That's true. Right?
We had this conversation last free agent season. When it was Yamamoto and Blake Snell, and like who was going to have the better year, and it was clear that, you know, despite what we had just saw, that Yamamoto was the clear favorite in that. Now, didn't turn out that way. Now I know that they had some success in the postseason, but I think if you compared the 2 years,
he was hurt for most of the year.
Exactly,
Yamamoto.
Exactly. So I like being able to look at the back of someone's baseball card and take a little comfort in what I'm seeing there versus the unknown.
Yeah.
So, if we're just putting the money part aside, as you said, we don't know what the budget is. Yes.
All right. Chris, if there's a big free agent signing, would you make it Max Fried?
I would take the 174 innings. Yes.
Oh.
Because that's the closest thing I know to replacing Musgrove.
And you get a lefty out of it.
Yeah.
I like a lefty. Fried, pretty good. 1.16 whip. Yeah.
Goal defends his position. Like, he does a lot of great pickoff move.
Plus, then we don't have to hear from Padre fans
just about
how we
say.
Let him go many years ago.
I was going to say, AJ Beller, anything, wrong, not right.
Yes, anything that leaves us away from that is good.
Number four.
Now, Georgia football head coach Kirby Smart is under some scrutiny for the way he handled one of his players, quote unquote, celebrating with Ole Miss after the Georgia loss on Saturday. Georgia player Jake Pope was seen jumping up and down and having a great time with some Ole Miss people, and apparently it was family and friends from one of his high school teammates. That's who he was celebrating with. Kirby Smart was asked about it, and here is what he told the media.
Kirby, there's a video on social media of Jake Pope seemingly celebrating with some Ole Miss fans on the field after the game. Just wanted to see if you had seen that and what your reaction to it was.
Yeah, what an idiot. I mean, just stupid. I didn't see it till today, but he's embarrassed about it. He's upset about it. That's obviously a childhood friend of his. He grew up, played with there at Buford, and knows him, hadn't seen him in forever, but just not real smart. But to be honest with you, I don't have time to waste energy on that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like my focus is on Tennessee. I'm not worried about that.
Oh, he just pulled a Belichick on to Tennessee. So there you go. Kirby Smart called him an idiot. Chris,
yeah.
Do you think Jake Pope is an idiot?
You want to get this over quick, right?
Yeah.
I'll just go with yes.
Okay, even if
I'm tired of this stuff. I don't even like to see ball players waving at each other from across the field before a game, let alone jumping up and down celebrating with a college guy after a game. I like to believe that these, you know, teams are foes, at least for a few hours.
Tony, is Jake Pope an idiot?
Yes. I'm sorry. Listen, what was the excuse that he was celebrating with?
He was celebrating with a high school teammate he hadn't seen in a long time.
That was on
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss?
Yes.
And so what does that celebration look like? Like you jumping up and
he
down?
He was just
like,
jumping up and down, yeah.
That's so bad, right? I don't care.
Honestly, the video that I saw, and I don't know if there's other videos out there, I saw the video and it was like maybe a second and a half of him jumping up and
down.
That's
too many.
I can't understand it for the life of me.
Scraby, I barely celebrate when you make a putt. That's how competitive I am even with you.
Like, has no one ever played against their best friend?
You want to beat them normally.
Right, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could do your celebration, and then soon as you guys get dressed, you can meet up, and it's like all love after that. I don't understand why you, childhood friend or not, why you needed to celebrate any seconds after your team just got, like, literally upset and, like, ran off the field. But you're the only one in a Georgia uniform out there just having a good old time.
Looks bad, Scraby.
It looks crazy. I can't even be mad at Kirby Smart's initial reaction.
I love his reaction.
What an idiot.
That's what most adults are saying as they're watching.
You know,
that.
I wish Kirby Smart would take that approach when his players are speeding and doing all this other stuff.
I know it.
Instead of calling out a guy who's just celebrating, why don't you call out the guys that are speeding and getting arrested and doing all that?
Chris Kirby has lost the moral high ground on this one.
He can't
even be mad at his player for celebrating with
that
team.
That is more mad than I heard when his players were arrested.
You don't know that.
I saw the press conference.
You don't know that he didn't chew on their face before he came out to that press conference.
Well, that would make him a cannibal.
Number three.
Who is he? Hannibal Lecter? Cowboys issue number one of two in the rest of this Big Five. Micah Parsons has never been shy to share his opinion on things, but some think he may have gone a little too far with his response about his head coach, Mike McCarthy. Here he is post-game in the locker room talking with reporters.
Mike's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's, of course, going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are worried about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
The end is really where it turns up a bit. Here is Micah Parsons, and I'm giving in to his publicity, The Edge podcast, talking about what he said.
Oops. I like Woody, right? A former player. He's a Super Bowl champ. He should know the significance of one, throwing out someone's injury. Like, I wanted to get injured. Now, that's blatant disrespect. I've never missed a game in my career. Not college, not high school, not even to up for about 4 or 5 weeks ago to injury. To say that I'm just missing games because of injury, like it's just some injury after I suffered a significant injury playing the game that we love. Someone who's been around teams and legends at that can say, like, that's how I know we all have to see through the BS of what these TV analysts are trying to do. And you know,
you've heard enough. Okay, so he goes on to say, I never once threw or even intended to throw Mike McCarthy under the bus. Tony, you are up first. Is this disrespectful of Micah Parsons?
Yes, even if initially the first time with the media wasn't meant to be that way. This is a classic example of not everybody is trained to be able to speak in front of the media. Because if you go back to the original statement, he said the right thing initially. But
above my pay grade.
Above my pay grade. I just want to win. He made it about his older teammates. But then as he kept talking, it kept getting worse.
Spun himself into the ground.
He spun when he dropped the... He was all good with the I want to win it for my teammates. Those are the guys who put in a lot of work. But then when he said they put in more work than Mike McCarthy will ever have done.
Yeah.
That's where it went sideways. And so the consequence of that, even though that may not have been his intent, is that those analysts he's going to talk about, especially the ones that have played and have an older perspective of it.
I guess I should say he was responding to Damian Woody.
He was responding to Damian Woody.
Crushed him.
And I watched it.
Yeah.
And so the consequence of you speaking too long and devolving into what you devolved into is now people are going to now critique what you said. If he would have left it, if he'd have left that last part out, we would not be having this conversation right now. But he didn't. And so now he's on the defense. Damian Woody goes in on him, and I watched that whole segment.
Yeah.
Damian Woody didn't say anything wrong. He certainly didn't. What he was talking about with the injuries was you should be careful about how you speak on a coach that has put a ton of time in. He's won a Super Bowl. When you yourself haven't been available for your teammates, whether it was your fault or not. And I think that was the point Damian Woody was. But to me, this is also an example of you have to be able to take responsibility for the words that you said and the consequences that come with it. Now, the consequences are his owner didn't hold him to any type of standard at that point.
Jerry Jones said, I knew exactly what he was
trying to say, which is fair. But you can't be mad at some of the guys who played before you feeling some type of way about you publicly disrespecting your head coach. When everybody already sees it's probably the end for him anyway. It's like you're kicking him while he's down.
Yes, that's true. And Chris's fortune-telling came true as well. As hard as we tried to get through this, we still have Chris's answer on Micah Parsons. We also have the NFL trying to go to another country that this time it's even more of a time difference. And then we're back to the Cowboys in the final question of the Big Five because the Sun is a huge issue in Dallas. So stick around. That is what we'll do when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.